So today we continue with the book of Colossians. Last time I talked about it was Colossians 1:15 to verse 20, which Paul shared about the revelation of Jesus as the law of the universe and Christ who reconciled creation with God. Today we turn to Colossians chapter 1. Verse 21 to 23, where Paul specifically talked about what Jesus has done for the Colossian church. So please turn to Colossians 1, verse 21 to 23. So verse 21 reads, "Although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet he has now reconciled you in his fleshly body through death, in order to present you before him, holy and blameless and beyond reproach. If indeed you continue in the faith firmly established and steadfast, and not move away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard, which was proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, was made a minister." So in this segment, Paul continued to highlight some core Christian beliefs to the young Colossian church. And these verses can be broken down in three parts. The past, verse 21, which talks about although you were formerly. The second part, the present, first section of verse 22, yet he has now reconciled you. The third part, the future, verse 22 onwards, in order to present you, ... So really, you notice that Paul was talking about before and after they came to faith, the Colossian church came to faith. So I would say that the things we talk about in these verses can also apply to Christians today. Before I go into each verse, the scripture reminded me a very important belief I had before I became a Christian. And maybe some of you share the same belief too. Most people believe that we were born basically good and that is our default position. A good person. Basically, I haven't done anything terrible. And even if I did, I might think that the other person deserved it, or it was payback. So we basically think we have a good standing with God. But this is not the teaching of the scripture. These verses reminded us that before we became Christians, we were hostile to God and the evil deeds. You might object to that. How about making a generous donation to a charity? Isn't that a good deed? And I'll say maybe or maybe not. So for example, if you donate it for a selfish reason, for example, so that you feel good about it for yourself, or to say to look good before others, then your heart had a selfish motive, not a purely good deed. So all of us need to reconcile. All of us need to be reconciliation. All of us need reconciliation with God. As Paul wrote in Colossians 1, verse 20. So now, verse 21, just a reminder. Verse 21 says, "And although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engage in evil deeds." Paul wanted the Colossian church to have a very clear understanding of who they were before they were in Christ. he highlighted three aspects of their differences from before knowing Christ. First, alienated. Before we are reconciled to God, we are separated from Him by our sins. We were far from God. And this is not due to God rejecting us, but we human rejected God since Adam and Eve disobeyed God in the Garden of Eden. Second, hostile in mind. Before we are reconciled to God, our minds are hateful towards Him. We oppose God. We oppose His godly way. So our separation is not a passive separation, but we were active in our enmity towards God, His will and His character. Third, engage in evil deeds. Before we are reconciled to God, our hostile mind led us to believe, to live in ways that are not God-centered, but self-centered, for our own benefits and glory, and have limited considerations of God and others. This really shows how far from God we were. Verse 22. Yet He has now reconciled you in His fleshly body through death in order to present you before Him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. It was God who took the initiative to reconcile with us, not our initiative, even when we were enemies of God. And it was God who provided the means to reconcile, not our effort or ability. The word that stood out to me here is fleshly. Normally, we hear that the death of Jesus atoned our sins and reconciled human with God. Here, it said that it was through the death of Jesus' fleshly body that reconciliation was attained. Paul probably used this word, fleshly, to address false teaching that Jesus was not of the physical world. Paul emphasized that Jesus was part of the physical world because He died in a fleshly body. Jesus was both God, a spiritual being, and man, part of the physical world. This connection of spiritual and physical world is important because many people see Christianity as a cultural identity, such as Christianity is a Western religion or is purely spiritual matter, or compartmentalizing it in their mind that it doesn't affect the way we actually live in the real world. In some ways, some Christians lead a life with elements of Gnosticism, where their spiritual beliefs are separated from the physical world, or they are rarely practiced in the physical world. So there's little integrity in their spiritual beliefs and actions in the physical world. The purpose of reconciliation of humans with God is so that our lives on earth now would be changed, not just eternal life later. So our way of living or doing things now with our body, mind, and earthly desires will be more reflective of Jesus' life, whose Spirit lives in us. By His grace and power, enable us to lead a life that is holy, blameless, and above reproach that Paul talked about in verse 22. So what is holy life like? It would have a mind that is set on things above instead of things of this world. It's a life lived for God's glory and the goods of others instead of self. What about blameless? From Greek word, amomos, which means without blemish or faultless. So it's a life lived without disgraceful conduct. And above reproach, from the Greek word, probably can't pronounce it well, Glectos, with the idea that there's no cause for reproach or accusation. So although reconciliation is complete in Jesus, there's also an ongoing process. Christians do not become holy, blameless, and above reproach instantly. This is a goal of our reconciliation that is still being worked out, moving us from being people who are marked by evil deeds to being people who are holy and blameless and above reproach. This is something God does in us, but we are also called to choose to pursue it in our daily lives. Verse 23. If indeed you continue in the faith, firmly established and steadfast, and not move away from the hope of the gospel that you have heard, which was proclaimed in all creations under heaven, and of which I, Paul, was made a minister. If indeed you continue in the faith, those reconciled will need to persevere. The point is that those belonging to Christ will struggle at times and waver in the strength of their faith at times. It warns us and yet encourages us that although you will face this struggle in faith, not to move away from the hope of the gospel is a way to continue in the faith. For the hope of gospel helps us to persevere. A different understanding of this verse raised some questions about salvation as well. I'll just touch on it. So from John chapter 6, verse 39, you know that a person is truly saved by Jesus Christ cannot lose his salvation, because Jesus lose none of those given to him by the Father. But this verse suggests that one may lose his or her salvation, because Paul said, if you continue in the faith. What if you don't continue in the faith? Isn't it once saved, always saved? Yes, but you can give away your salvation. I think this is SP's belief, that you receive salvation and yet you can also give it away. So it's crucial to continue in the faith. And another aspect about salvation is that every person who thinks they are saved may not actually be saved. So, for example, the parable of the tares among the wheat, so Matthew chapter 13, verse 25 to 40, where not only good seeds were sown, but tares were sown among the wheat. So at the time of harvest, those that are tares will be thrown into the fire. So let me clarify this. Those who prove to have false profession of faith because they actually have false belief wouldn't go to heaven. So for example, some people may believe that if they raise their hand and pray the sinner's prayer, they are saved. They may falsely trust these actions of raising their hands and saying a prayer instead of believing in the person and work of Jesus Christ. It's critical to know that we are saved not because of anything we have done, but because of what Jesus did for us on the cross. True believers may take a few steps forward and a step back in the faith journey. But over time, there will be a progress in their life in growing faith and trust in God. If someone or something can separate you from the hope of the gospel, then maybe your faith is not well rooted and may have been in the wrong things all along. True faith will always be challenged, and it might even waver with doubt, but it will work through such challenges and doubt and come back stronger from the testing. I would say that the essential truth of the Gospels are: one, human is sinful and justly condemned by God. Two, God is holy and just, but is patient and loving to us. Three, He provided a way to redeem and reconcile with us through Jesus Christ. Four, Jesus is God in human flesh, live a sinless life, willingly die as the substitute payment for our sin. Five, He was bodily raised on the third day and is now at the right hand of the Father, preparing a place in heaven for all who believe and place their trust in Him for the forgiveness of their sin. As a response, we acknowledge Him for who He is, our God and Savior, and what He has done for us, His saving work on the cross. And I invite Him into our lives as Lord and have a personal relationship with Him. We are saved not by our efforts, but by faith in Jesus. This is the gospel. It was through this gospel that Paul was made a minister. If this is not the gospel that you have heard and believed before today, then today is the day of your salvation by repenting and believing what God has revealed so that you might believe and know God's peace. For those who have true saving faith, that kind of faith will never fail and it will never falter. True faith is God-given and will never fail. But nevertheless, while those who are in Christ are secure in Him, our aim should always be to remain steadfast and stable in faith. Please pray and ask God how you can live out your faith in the physical world, not just spiritual or compartmentalize it. May I invite the worship leader to start playing some music and meditate on the gospel, and for those who know Jesus already, pray and ask God how you can live out your faith in the physical world.
Let's worship Him together. Bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul.
Rich in love,
You're rich in love, and slow to anger. Your name is great, and your heart is kind. For all your goodness, I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons, 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. So bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh, my soul, I worship your holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I worship your holy name. And on that day, when my strength, the end draws near and my time has come, still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and forevermore. So bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh, my soul, I worship your holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I worship your holy name. Bless the Lord, oh, my soul. Worship your name. Bless your name, God. We worship your holy name. Yes, we worship your holy name. Worship. As Tim was saying, let your soul reach out to the Father right now. And just give Him a moment of your day. Let your soul reach out to the Father and just worship Him. Just one more time. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh, oh my soul. Your holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, my soul, I worship your holy name. So let us turn to our community prayer. Let's lift up those who are suffering from cancer and undergoing chemo radiation therapy. Yes, can lift up Pastor Mary's uncle, Bill, Chloe for breast cancer, Ming Ming for lung cancer, as well as Ki Wan's mom.
Next slide, we pray for those who are ill and don't know Jesus. Yeah, so yes, pray for God encounter with them. Pray that God's encounter will change their life, spiritual life, that they know Jesus, as well as physically, that God heals them. Let's pray for those who are suffering from other infirmities as well. There's quite a lot of people on this list. Please pick one or two and pray over them. We also want to lift up those who are looking for work, and yeah, especially for during this time of COVID-19, it's not going to be easy to find work. Yeah, pray for God's guidance and provision, that our God will meet all their needs. Next line. Today we pray for Singapore, Indonesia, Philippines, still, and our church plant in New York as well. Yes, pray for all these leaders. Pray for God's presence and God's moving in each of these church plants and fellowship that we have. Yes, And we also want to pray for our education ministry, particularly SP Kids. Pray for P. Mary and Lisa for still able to connect to the kids, and the kids still meet God every week, even without the teachers. So pray that God works through the video and the exercising activity P. Mary and Lisa sent out every week. And yes, also pray for SP Youth as well, where Donald and Caleb are leading the group, that they maintain connections and then able to connect well over Zoom as well, as well as for P. Andrew for the college ministry. Let's also lift up our prayer and healing ministry. Cover the leader, Matt, of IP, as well as Rachel for the well and river. And yes, the well is still praying for people through overcalls. So just email the well also to make this possible with this connection so that you can receive prayer. Pray for outreach ministry as well. Really, both SP Light and Homemade, the drop-in center, they are suspended this week as well. So yeah, pray for God's to the people they serve, be it those who are suffering under sexual exploitation, as well as those who are poor and like sleeping in. See, actually these days there's like more people need to find places to sleep as well as our clothes, and our places are not really open for meals, so I pray that God meets the needs. God's love and care with touch all those who need. And yeah, pray for Christians who are able to also go out to meet them, to care for them. Let's also pray for our Zoom gathering tonight, for the discipleship class, Experiencing God, led by P-Sam. Also helping without hurting tonight by Sally and I as well. Just pray for God's leading and covering and God's presence in each of these meetings as well. Yes, Lord God, that you prepare their hearts and minds to meet you, Lord God, that they will just come to know you in a deeper way, but personally, that they experience you. And for helping your heart, and we also want to pray for you to reveal your heart to the poor and those who see me. And yes, Lord, that is all come to join you at work, Lord God. And lastly, we pray for Hong Kong. And yes, with this COVID-19 season, there's so much restrictions, and a lot of workers just get a lunchbox and eat in the rain when there's no covering as well. I know that some churches and centers have opened up space for them to eat, and the covering is also strong. But yes, we pray for a speedy making of the vaccination. Also pray for wisdom for the government and the leaders to come up with ways to reduce restrictions, and also want to pray for the medical staff as well, as we hear the hospitals are pretty full, people are waiting to go in the hospital diseases. So pray for God's love and care and comfort for those who are suffering, whether it's medical staff or going through COVID-19 as well. Lord God, we thank you for today. Thank you that you brought us here to hear your word, to sing praises to you, to give us strength to, yes, go on another day. And I just ask that, yes, Lord God, that your grace continue with us every day, and that yes, with you we have all that we need to have victory every day. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So